Proverbs 18 and verse 22. It's a verse of scripture that many of us know. We just want to add a few more thoughts on our discussions on marriage. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. Are you there? Proverbs 18, 22. Let's go. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. There's a particular dimension or approach that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart for us to take today. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. It says, through wisdom a house is built. Through wisdom a house, a family. You may be building a physical house, then your primary requirement is wisdom. In a poor environment like ours, people overestimate material things, overvalue material things, and most people believe that the reason why they can't build what they want to build is because they don't have material or financial resources. But I say today, no, the primary resource that you need is wisdom. The wisdom will attract or create the material resources. Wisdom is a function of maturity. Wisdom is a function of maturity. And I want us, therefore, to take it from that dimension. In fact, if I'll summarize the thought that the Holy Spirit put in my mind, it's this. For you to find the right mate, you need to become the right mate. For you to find the right mate, you need to become the right mate. Because in this life, you don't attract what you want, you attract who you are. You don't attract what you want, you attract who you are. And it's in getting a template for that maturity that I want us to use Luke chapter 2, verse 52, which describes how Jesus went about his development. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and was in favor with God and men. Four dimensions in which Jesus experienced growth and development. Jesus increased in wisdom, and that describes his mental development. He increased in stature, describes his physical development. He was in favor with God, describes his spiritual development. He was in favor with man, describes his social development. Mental, physical, spiritual, social. And I want to challenge us today. See, the principle that works in your discovering who to marry is the law of recognition. The law of recognition. And it is what you have inside you already, the picture that you have inside you, that helps you to recognize. If I was to pick you up at the airport, I've never met you before, I would need someone to give me your picture so I can recognize you. When what I see on the outside matches what I have on the inside, or what's on the picture that I have, or the template that I have, then there is recognition. So, maturity, the process of maturity, is essentially a process of change in perspective. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. What was he talking about? Thinking, understanding, perspective, ability to interpret life. Life is not always exactly what you see. It's how you interpret it. What somebody sees and calls a problem, another one sees it and calls it an opportunity. It's interpretation. It's like talking about the difference between a poor man and a rich man. It's an internal thing. It's a matter of recognition. It's a matter of recognition. Your provision is tied to your vision. If your mind is filled with poverty, you will only recognize opportunities for poverty. You will not recognize when the opportunities of prosperity come around you. In fact, what you call a problem is what somebody with prosperity mindset will come and see as an opportunity and create products and services to solve and make money. Okay? I tell people, you don't see money with your physical eyes. You recognize it with your mind. It's a matter of interpretation. That's just life. That's why wisdom is the principal thing. It's a key thing. Okay, so Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, for example. Paul the Apostle said, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different from a slave, though he is master of all." That's what he said. He owns everything. He said, but his lifestyle won't be different from that of a slave. Why? He's a child. What makes him a child? His interpretation of life and of his circumstances. Then how do you solve his problem? Verse 2, he said, "You put him under tutors and governors or guardians until the time appointed by his father." Some people need to train him. Some people need to help him develop his thinking, okay? Help him develop his sense of judgment. Anyway, that's what we're talking about or describing from Luke chapter 2, verse 52. But I will rearrange it. Let me talk first of all about your spiritual development. Spiritual development. That lays the foundation for your life. Spiritual development. Your ability to relate with God. Your spiritual growth. Alignment of your thinking with the way God thinks. Okay? Three basic things for me will characterize spiritual maturity. Hearing from God. Your ability to hear from God. When you hear from God, what you hear from God grows you up. The more you grow up spiritually, the more you can hear from God. It's a cycle. Okay? So hearing from God, trusting God, is a sign of spiritual maturity. You can speak in tongues, you can sing, you can use all the cliches that we use in church. But if you cannot trust your life absolutely into God's hand, you can trust your marriage, you can trust your finances, you're not mature. What marks maturity is your ability to trust God and for you to live at rest. And then the third dimension to it is obeying God. Because if you don't trust God, you won't obey Him. So hearing from God, trusting God, obeying God, signs of spiritual maturity. Let's move on to mental maturity. And you know, Jesus had spiritual maturity. Everything he did, he heard from God. In fact, God himself said about Jesus, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Okay? And he said, I judge nothing by myself. John 5 verse 30, "As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is correct." It's just. Let's talk about mental maturity. Jesus was matured mentally. He was trained. He was groomed. This has to do with your developing your sense of judgment, developing discretion, being able to define what is right and what is wrong. And the second dimension to it is competence, developing expertise or acquiring skills. That's part of mental development, acquiring skills. You've got to learn a trade. I mean, there's no point getting married if you don't have a trade. God gave Adam work to do in the garden before he gave him a wife. And Jesus, too, had developed, learned a profession. His dad was a carpenter, and he was trained in that field. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, people said, "Is this not the carpenter?" And carpenter wasn't just furniture maker. The word carpenter there is from the Greek word tekton, which literally means project manager. Because in his day, a woodworker went into the bush, felled the trees, brought them into the city, sliced them up, and used them to make either furniture or to construct a house. And Jesus, according to history, was very competent. He was the best in town when he was around. The only thing we think about with respect to him was preaching, but he did a lot more than that. In fact, the preaching was just 3.5 years. Okay? So he was mentally developed and obviously was taking care of his family. Because after his childhood, you don't hear about his dad mentioned anymore. And historians say what likely happened was that his dad died. And he took the responsibility for running the family business. And then you have social development, or should I say emotional development. We call it emotional intelligence. And it is your maturity in relating with other people, developing ability to love other people, developing communication skills. Once you don't know how to communicate well with other people, you can't build successful relationships. Solomon says a whole lot about that. You know, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, grievous words stir up anger. It's talking about tact. Tact is the ability to know how the other person will feel after you will have said what you want to say. And if you can feel it up front, then you can decide what to adjust and how to go about it. There is a right thing to say. There is a right way to say it. There is a right time to say it. And Solomon then says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Jesus developed communication skills. Okay, we need emotional development, all of us. And then physical development. Marriage is not for boys and girls. Physiologically speaking, they say a 12-year-old child should not be having babies, should not be getting pregnant because the body is not fully developed enough. So we need physical maturity also before we go into marriage. But what I'm simply trying to do is to paint a picture for us that the more mature you are, the better the likelihood that you will be able to recognize the person that you are supposed to marry. But the foundation is your spiritual maturity, your ability to hear from God. Listen, marriage is essential. Making the choice of a life partner is essentially about intuition. What do I mean? You don't just marry someone the way they are now, because you are going to spend the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years with the person. So you marry somebody for the future. You know, some people, all they think about when they want to marry is the wedding. Ah, my wedding. The gown is from Malaysia. The shoes will be from Singapore. Okay, so all the attention, all the effort, everything is expended on the wedding day. And then, so after you say, I do, what next? Oh, honeymoon. So you go for honeymoon for 2, 3, 4 weeks. So after honeymoon, what next? Sometimes I shock singles who are about to marry when I ask them, excuse me, who do you think she will be like when she's pregnant? I ask the lady, what do you think he will do when you are pregnant? You wake up in the night because there's some pain in your tummy and you need to wake him up. What do you think he will do then? And then I can see the shock in their eyes because they've not thought about pregnancy. They've not thought about the fact that there are going to be children. They've not thought about the fact that those children are going to go to school and all of that. But that's the reality. That's the person you are marrying. You are marrying someone for the future. The key factor here is your vision. Vision. Because with maturity comes vision, the capacity to see. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people will what? Perish. Vision. That's a game that I play, and I recommend you play it too once in a while. A day in my life, 5 years from now. You sit down and imagine when you wake up, what the room will look like when you wake up, who your husband is going to be, or what your husband is going to be like, what your wife is going to be like, what your children are going to be like, how you will dress up, the kind of clothes you will have on, and then how you leave the house to go to the office, where office will be, what kind of a car you will drive to the office, and so on. That's visioning. And for a Christian, you have to do it prayerfully. So those thoughts are influenced by God. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. You know, when you look at that picture, you forecast into the future like that, it makes it easier. Because you will see the kind of a person you are becoming, and then it will make it easier for you to define the kind of a person your wife or your husband needs to be. When you look at that picture, the most important factor in that picture is you. Everything you see in that picture will be attracted by a magnet, and that magnet is you. To make that vision realizable, you have to grow to the size of that vision. If in your vision you see yourself becoming a CEO, that CEO is the one that attracts everything else, attracts the marriage partner, attracts the children, attracts the friends, attracts the cars, attracts the houses, everything else you see in the picture. So I tell people, if that picture will ever be fulfilled, you have to grow first to the size of that vision. So it makes it easier when that's how you're building your life. One thing that that vision will do for you is to define your values. I'm telling you, once your future or your purpose is defined, it defines your values, the things that are most important to you in life. And once your values are defined, it makes it easier for you to detect your husband or wife. Not every man is husband material for you. Not every woman is husband material for you. Amen. Let me tie up what I'm saying from Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. A woman is giving some counsel to her son, okay, about his life and his future. And this just expresses what I'm trying to say. Proverbs 31, from verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Fantastic. The vision is clear. Lemuel, you are not like any other person around. You are going to become a king. And because of that, you can't live your life anyhow. Okay? Listen, if you want to marry someone, your values need to align. Okay? Your values need to align. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. See what he says. This guy, you can't be sleeping around with people. Lemuel, you can't be sleeping around with girls. You are going to become a king. You will have serious reputation problems when somebody sends a note to you telling you they're going to talk to the newspaper if you don't give them $10,000. You are becoming a king. Don't create problems for yourself in the future. You can't sleep around with everybody else. You need some spiritual standards. Number two, then she says in verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Lemuel, you must control your appetite. Your appetite for sex, your appetite for drink. Lemuel, you can't get drunk. Kings don't get drunk. If you are someone who has no control over his appetite and you get drunk, you can't become a President Obama. Okay? You can't get hung on hard drugs. People who sniff cocaine don't get to White House. Son, that's what she was saying to her son. Look, if you want to give drugs or alcohol to anybody, then give it to somebody who is perished, somebody who has no vision. Because his life will always be topsy-turvy. Let him take it once in a while so he can temporarily escape his misery. And even though he's a nobody going nowhere to happen, once in a while he can feel like he's the governor of Lagos State and enjoy that for 10 minutes before the drugs wear out. Lemuel, you are kingship material. Verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and the needy. This is what leadership has to do. That's what you are being groomed for, Lemuel. The essence of power is not to make you power drunk. It's to give you capacity to serve people. In fact, if she was to advise him to study a course from what she was saying, I suspect she may have encouraged him to study law. You will need to stand up and to speak up for the needy and for the helpless and for the speechless, for the people who have no voice. But then she goes on with her encouragement, and the next thing she lands on is the kind of a woman he should marry if he will fulfill his destiny as a king. She said in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband simply trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And she goes on and on and on and on. Verse 30 is beautiful. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You see that? Lemuel, there's got to be an alignment between your values and that of the person you are going to marry. If you value spirituality, the fear of God, the person you are going to marry has to value spirituality, or else the foundation of that home will crack. You know what I found out? Like I said earlier on, you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. As a pastor, I've seen a lot. In fact, I've seen people who come to church just to chase ladies. They sleep around with people, but when it's time to marry, they know where the fine moral girls are. It's church. That's where they want to come and marry people. But what they don't know, almost all the time what happens is, it's people like themselves that they marry in the church. People who, you know, it was when they wanted to marry that they now ran into. They're not committed to God. They're not committed to the vision of the house. They're not involved in the church. They're not serving in the church. They're just looking for someone to hook. They hook each other. Because you don't attract what you want. You attract who you are. Listen, Lemuel, you have to make your decisions based on your vision. If you are king material, the person you are going to marry needs to be queen material. If you are queen material, the person you want to marry has to be king material. It's about vision, sir. Vision is the foundation for recognition. So that's the point for me. That's the point. You've got to know how to pray, and then your spiritual eyes have to be open. But you know, the better you mature spiritually and the better your values are defined, the easier it is for you to recognize the person you are supposed to marry. Become the person. And please let your decision be based on vision and revelation. Like I said, marriage requires intuition. Nobody can define your life 30, 40 years from now. Only God can. So the most important piece of advice I'll give you is pray. Pray. Take time to pray. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to open your eyes. The most important thing you'll do. Listen, many people don't recognize their husbands and their wives. And that's just the problem. Recognition. Listen, if you are single, your ideal husband as a lady is already married. Because some people are looking for an ideal guy to marry. And if you're a guy, your ideal wife is already married. That's why some people fall in love with married people. Okay, oh, he's so caring. Oh, he's so nice. Oh, ah, man, the guy is together. Has a fine car. He looks good. He dresses fine. Excuse me. Ask his wife what he looked like when they got married. See, the question for you is, if you see yourself and you see that your husband will be CEO, can you recognize him when he doesn't have any C or any E? He's still just O. Can you recognize him? See, Pastor Nick and I didn't look like this when we got married. See? If I toasted someone many years ago, some people could just look at me and wonder. You know, you needed to have eyes to see me, the real me. Because the outside was not the same as what was inside. Am I right? You need vision. You need revelation. That's why you need God's help. After we started courting, then we discovered that her allowance as a youth copper was higher than my salary as a pastor. So all these looking for the guy who is together, he has a flat, rugged wall to wall, has AC, you know, he drives a fine car. You may be deceived, because the fact that he has a car today is no guarantee we'll have a car 5 years from now. Lemuel's mother said, look, charm is deceitful. The beautiful lady that you are looking at, how are you sure she will still be beautiful 10 years from now? That's not the key thing to look at. That's not the key thing to look for. Who is this person going to be 10, 20, 30 years from now? Values, revelation, vision. There are guys who are supposed to have married a long time ago. They're not married yet, because they're building their lives on material things. So you want to have, how can the son of man marry a lady like this? You know, I don't even have a car yet. Car. So car will be the basis for finding somebody to marry and starting a new dimension to your life. Okay, so you marry the one that has a car physically. You don't marry the one that has a spiritual car. Okay? Has a car that is guaranteed for the future. If I ask cars. See, the day I told Pastor Nike my salary, I said to her, you know what? I quickly told her, after I told her my salary, I quickly told her, you know what? Things are not going to remain like this forever. You know? I said, I'm going somewhere. I described the future for her and told her, in fact, that I was going to be so prosperous, I would tell her to keep her pay. Excuse me, sir. If you don't have vision, that's when you can't see anything. Leadership requires for you to have vision and for you to have the ability to sell it. That's what a lady needs. There's no point marrying someone who is prosperous now, but we don't know where he's going tomorrow. The important thing is to hook up with somebody who is going somewhere. And you can build your lives together. Okay? So if you have a vision, sell it to her. You know, I sold the vision. She bought it. And here we are. This is what we spoke about there. So, get married. 1 Corinthians 7, if you read from verse 1, Paul the Apostle said, you know what? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. However, to prevent sexual immorality, let each person go and marry. All these secret smooshing, secret sex that is illegal and all that is not necessary. Marry. Paul said it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Some people, the heat and the fire they are carrying around town can burn down a whole city. Go and marry. There are powerful guys in this church. On the outside, they may not look perfect, but I'm telling you, they are going somewhere. I'm telling you, the CEOs of tomorrow, the governors of tomorrow, the president, the ambassadors, they are here. Hallelujah. They're here. And there are wonderful ladies here. Palace material. They are not cheap. They're not two for half cobble. But you need to have vision. That's what you use to pay for dowry for these ones. Vision. Hallelujah. You have to be somebody who is going somewhere to attract those kind of ladies. They are special. And you need to be able to recognize them. But the key thing is just vision, revelation. Please, once you start praying and you begin to sense God leading you, that it should be this person, your heart begins to connect. I'll ask you to do one thing. Ask the people who love you around you to also pray with you. Okay? Ask your family members, your parents, your brothers, your sisters to pray with you. Ask your friends to pray along with you. And then talk to a pastor. We encourage that in this church. Talk to a pastor to pray along with you. Because once your emotions get involved, hearing from God may become a very tricky issue. Mm-hmm. Once you develop a liking and an attraction, you know, for someone, what you are likely to hear is what you want to hear. Somebody asked me many years ago to pray along with him because he was really in love with a particular lady in church. And I said, that's fine, just hold on, let me pray. After several weeks, he came to me and said, so what's the Lord saying? I said, I don't know yet. I've not heard anything yet. I'm still praying. So he came back again a few weeks and I said, you know what? The challenge I have is when I pray, I just don't see the two of you together. That's the challenge I'm having. So just give me a little more time to pray. He said, ah. He said, sir, can you make it quick, please? He said, because I'm really in love with this lady. He said, I have never loved a woman like that in my life. I said, that's fine. Just hold it, okay? And then, like a week later, he came and said, sir, thank you. God bless. Thank you for telling me to hold. There is no way I could ever have married somebody like that in my life. Never. So I said, hello. What happened? Everything changed. He said, well, her brother wrote her a letter from home. I read that letter, from the description of the crisis in the family, the chaos, the division, there is no way I could ever marry somebody at all from that kind of a family. I said, we thank God. So he moved on with his life, okay? So get people around you to pray along with you. People ask a few questions like, what if the lady is older? What does the Bible say? I don't know. I can't find scriptures. I can't find it as a doctrine in the Bible that the man must be older than the woman. I can't find it. Okay? But the important thing is your maturity. That's what's important. You have to be realistic. Your sense of judgment has to be sharp. The truth is, it may affect a little bit. If it's going to create problems, don't even bother. If you have doubts, serious doubts in your mind, don't bother. Because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay? If you can deal with it, and the two of you can move on, plan your lives together, defer to each other, love each other, respect each other, then fantastic. Okay? Then it can work. I just encourage the gap should not be too wide. Whether it's the man that is older or the lady that is older, the gap should not be too wide. Or else you may be in two different generations, and you may be speaking two different languages altogether. So, but some people are wiser than their age. So they can be able to manage that. What if the lady has a higher educational qualification? That's no big deal. Wisdom is the key thing. And education sometimes is not synonymous with wisdom. Okay? It's the maturity with which you can relate with it and if both of you can handle it. However, you have to understand the implications. A higher level of education may mean some more sophisticated level of thinking. And if something is wrong with your communication, something is going to be wrong with the relationship. Somebody says, oh, we're from different tribes. And I hear that Igbo ladies are this. I hear that Ijebu men are that. I hear that Hausa men are like this. Excuse me. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Drop those old mindsets. They are outdated and antiquated. Will that pose some challenge? It's possible because our values are different. If you marry somebody from the Igbo culture, you have to understand, if you are from the Yoruba culture, they don't prostrate to greet people there or kneel down. Okay, so can you manage that? It can be managed. That's the truth. If you have racial prejudice, you may miss your husband or your wife. We need to get rid of those things from our minds and to keep our minds open. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Amen. I said amen. Finally, if you've prayed, you found the person you need to marry, please register for our counseling classes fast. We have classes that we prepared for single people preparing to get married because most people have illusions. All they know about marriage is what they read from Mills and Boons and what they watched from Second Chance and the rest of them. And you know, and they lived happily ever after. And then as soon as they finish honeymoon, then they begin to get the honeymoon blues and the shockers. Prepare your mind. We have those classes for you, prepared, designed for you. They're powerful, life-changing classes. You want to lay a good foundation. And we give you counselors who go through those lessons with you for several months, and they prepare you for the real thing. Amen. I'll tell you this. Beyond teaching today, I am trusting God for grace. I am trusting God for his power to walk on each person's behalf in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray that if what has been limiting your getting married is a curse, the power of that curse is shattered now. I prophesy that whatever is destroying families out there, or whatever is keeping people from getting married, whatever that thing is, it may be the economy, it may be social, political or socio-economic issues, they have lost control over your life. Amen. I prophesy on you the spirit of revelation. Amen. You will see your husband. Amen. You will see your wife. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy God will give you favor. The person you should marry will fall in love with you soon. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy in Jesus' name all past mistakes are wiped out. And I prophesy, just in case somebody who is married is saying, oh, I made a mistake, I didn't know all of this before I got married. God was still watching and guiding your life even when you didn't know him. And I prophesy in Jesus' name into your marriage, there shall be peace. There shall be love. There shall be restoration of everything that Satan stole from your marriage in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy that the Spirit of God will position you where you will see your partner, and it will position your partner where you will see him or her in the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy miracles of recognition and divine connection in the next 30 days. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name.